are your hosts, Brooke and Randall Fowler. On this show, we discuss topics that really matter.
Like big veiny cocks and our favorite TV shows.
So pull up a chair at our kitchen table and hang out.
While I bulldog my nuts. Welcome to the naughtiest kitchen on earth.
Oh, our kitchen's naughty now.
Our kitchen table studio.
Ah.
We welcome you. This having no bonus episode feels like...
Yeah, it does feel like a while.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
Between episodes.
Yeah, but we had a lot going on this week, too, so...
Yeah, we gotta leave to keep the...
What was that?
We gotta leave the people wanting more. This new. Gotta leave them wanting more. That's what came out in that first ramble. That was nothing in my head. What was coming out was, you gotta leave them wanting more.
So eloquently put.
Yes. If you can tweet us what language I was speaking in.
I think you were speaking in tongues.
You'll get bonus points.
Oh my God, seriously, my glasses are still fogging up from like just getting out of the shower. Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of that, excuse me.
That was terrible.
Eyes fogging up. Yeah, I had my eye exam today. Told you I got my eyes dilated. That was a terrible idea. Yeah. I didn't pay the $39 to do the retinal scan. And, yeah. I went the old school acid drops.
Stupid.
And it was by far the worst experience of my... I don't remember it being that bad
previously.
But I could barely drive.
It's dangerous.
Doctor's office was not a good... Even with my glasses, my Oakleys on, it was unsafe.
No shit. Yeah. All those drugs that make your eyes dilate real big, it's like, oh.
It's nothing. Way worse.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But it felt like my eyeballs were popping out of my head.
No, it's a terrible... It feels terrible. And for me, like, I feel like it lasts all fucking day for me. Like, it'll last... They're like, oh, it's like 2 hours, you'll be fine. No, like 6 hours, maybe. And it...
Yeah, I'm still a little blurry.
Like, I'm a worthless sack of trash when I get my eyes dilated. So, I was like, I keep trying to defer it. But when I went in a couple weeks ago and was like, oh, no, I'm good. They were like, yeah, you have to get your eye... You either have to do that or the scan. I was like... Oh, how much is it? 30? Yes. Scan, $39. Sign me up. And it's a better...
I should have done it.
Like he was showing me, it's actually a way better...
No, it is a better picture.
Picture of your eye. You get like the... He gets the entire eye in there. Like,
yeah, it does like a 3D model almost.
It's pretty freaking cool. And well worth the $39.
But did my text even come across to you properly? I was wondering if I typed it right. I haven't checked it on my end, but I couldn't see shit when I texted you back.
You only texted me like one time and then you called me and I was like, are you okay? Because for you to actually... Are you dying?
I'm just... Throat's clogged. One of those.
When I saw my phone ringing, I was like, ah, what's wrong? Are you... Do you need help?
Yep. Well, that is bad when that happens, but I feel like a real dick. I did a really bad thing at the...
What'd you do?
At Dr. Hester's. I feel terrible about it. And,
did you shut up their bathroom?
No, it hasn't been spoken of yet, but I guarantee you, after I left, because, you know, we have a friend that works there that we love dearly.
Yes.
But I'm sure that this girl who was the optometrist assistant...
The one that takes
your pre-test and everything.
Takes you in the little room with the foldy door thing. Yeah,
we did all that and then that was fine. She took me into the regular room and did the standard tests and everything. Mm-hmm.
I just feel like this is fart related.
No, it's similar. But she had me seated and, you know, you put your chin on the eye thing and you're...
Yeah.
And she did all my tests and realized, you know, my left eye was way worse than my right eye. Blah, blah, blah. And she gets... right there in front of me and is doing one more test and we're literally just that thing is dividing
anyone
us.
Anyone that's been to the eye doctor knows what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have an uncontrolled, didn't bring it up, verp.
Gross.
That doesn't make a noise.
Gross.
It's just one of those like, and I breathed it out and I tasted it. I smelled it.
Babe.
Smelled like beef jerky.
That's fucking disgusting.
And I blew it straight in her face. There was nowhere else to, I mean, we were nose to nose. If, you know, you can't be any closer. She's looking in.
Yes.
I'm looking in.
That is so rude.
And all I saw her do, I wish y'all, this was video, was she went like this. She just closed her eyes and was like, oh my God. We never spoke of it. There was no laughter. She was very professional.
A part of her soul died.
But I smelled, it was like a vomit. I hadn't even eaten beef jerky.
It's disgusting. I'm concerned for your insides.
I didn't even have beef jerky for like lunch or a snack or anything.
Gross. Well, that's disgusting.
Really, I need to like send a note or some flowers or something.
You couldn't have like just held it in or like
it was
turned your head real quick.
My neck is locked into the chin thing. What's You're not- pressed against it. It's already hard for me to position that way.
Yeah.
Because of my neck surgery.
Yeah.
So I'm uncomfortable. And this was spontaneous. It just came like, and I didn't blow it.
Stop making that noise. It's grossing me out.
It was just the momentum of the bloop. And it was just so sad the way she closed her eyes, just like I would have, like if someone did it to me. And in her head, I know she was like,
fuck this guy.
Motherfucker. We just got back from lunch. I just ate.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine how often they are that close to somebody that's got like stank breath. Like,
oh, sure.
Because I always will like put, like, because I always go like first thing in the morning, like after coffee. So I'm like putting gum in before like they're getting their face right there, because I'm all like, I don't want to be that one that like has nasty breath in their face.
Here's the caveat to that, because they're absolutely right. But I had puttin'. I think I had a stroke tonight. I think I'd eaten two of their little mints that are on the counter when I walked in and signed in, because I knew there'd be somebody right in my face. So my breath was fresh, and then I threw up in her face. Such a bad. I feel awful.
So
Deborah's going to be so mad. Actually, she won't, because she loves me, but she's...
You can't do anything wrong.
She had to defend me, I'm sure, like, oh, poor him.
Well, yeah. Sorry, Deborah, if you're... co-worker said that Randall vomited in her face.
And if you defended me like I would never do that, I'm also sorry, because if she told you, she is being truthful.
I don't even, I mean, like, yeah, gross.
It's never happened before.
No, that's just such a bad time for that to come up.
The absolute worst time.
Poor thing.
You can't,
oh my
you
God.
Can't be closer or in a worse position, because also I'm taller than her. So her nose is right in my mouth.
Down went.
And it's just waft. And if I can smell it.
Gross.
I can't imagine what it was like. But.
Yeah. Oh, right, my gosh.
First thing I wanted to do, I wanted to knock out our three shout-outs.
Oh, our three shout-outs?
Yeah, that we're going to do three indie podcasts a week that we're just going to shout out to.
I thought you were talking about, because remember right before I went to the gym, I was like, I want to say this, this, and this.
Oh,
about
no, I've got
the...
you all squared away.
Okay,
these
okay, 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 okay. Gotcha. Because that's also three.
Is 33% Pulp. They're on Twitter at 33_Pulp. I don't know if you've listened to any of their episodes yet. I've got them. I've subscribed.
Not yet.
But I've listened to them. They're I think you'll like them.
Cool.
It's a three-person team, and they read a novel or a book, and then they break it down. They each read a third, and they break it down on a podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Over three-episode series.
So like a book club kind of podcast.
Yeah.
But, like, but instead of all reading the entirety of one book, they all just read a section and interpret it their way. That's cool.
But they're funny as shit. It's kind of like that... that TV show where you made me watch with Georgia Hardstark, where they drank and talked about a mystery.
Drunk History.
I don't think they're drunk, but they're funny.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, the girl Lens is hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's a great original
idea. I don't think
they
were, like, drunk. Well, no, those people were getting hammered on Drunk History.
No, they were trash.
They were trash. That's hysterical, though.
These guys are funny, so give them a look. Po Boys Podcast, that's... Po Boy Pod at POBOY Pod for their Twitter, And then the difference between us, at diff between us. They're pretty awesome. They're, I think there's four of them, and they just kind of break down a topic and discuss. I really like those guys. They are really cool. But
I've listened to one of those episodes. Yeah, I like them too. Sorry, I had something weird like in my slipper.
What I want to do, though, because me and you have so many podcasts we subscribe to, and it's like half of them are mine, half of them are yours. So I thought it would be cool, since we don't have The Walking Dead anymore, is we both tell each other one that we have to listen to of the others, and we'll talk about it next week. So I want you to listen to Po' Boys, one episode, and then you tell me what you think of it.
Okay.
And so now you tell me one of yours, and I'll listen to it, and I'll tell you what I think.
You didn't tell me to prepare for this. I mean, one of the ones that I listen to all the time, but you probably don't. So you've already listened to Trace Evidence with me. What about you go listen to one of the Generation Y?
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it. I have not listened to one, but I will. Okay. So I'll do Generation Y. Actually, you'll do Po' Boys.
Po' Boys. Yeah, write that down for me so I remember. I know the guy. Is his name Brody or something? Is that?
Jody, I think. He's really cool. He's the one that kind of found us. And
on Twitter?
Was, yeah, and he was quoting our shit. He really liked the rusty trombone.
Yes. Somebody else mentioned that, like, on Facebook. I think one of your friends from Alabama was like, I hadn't thought about a rusty trombone in decades. Yeah. Leave it to Randall.
People forget about the old rusty trombone.
Dirty Sanchez. That's another one that people don't talk about enough.
And that leads me into my next subject before you run down your current events, because I know you have a plethora of...
I'm like foaming at the mouth, yeah.
...of subjects, so I want to just give you that whole segment. But, so, I decided I was going to talk today about eproctophiles. I think I'm saying that right. That's people that are sexually aroused by farts.
It's disgusting.
Funny part of the story... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you read me something about it last night, and it made me... physically, like, I felt so uncomfortable and, like, grossed out by it.
Well, what's funny is today at the gym, working out with Jim.
Uh-huh.
Jimbo.
At the GYM, working out with J-I-M.
My brother-in-law, dead behind the eyes, Jimbo. No, he asked me about you saying that. You said that.
I didn't say dead behind the eyes.
Yes, you did. When I was talking about how Jim's very kind of hard to read, you said, oh, yeah, kind of dead behind the eyes.
I do not remember saying that. Jim, I love you. I don't think you're dead behind the eyes. If I did say it, it was a joke.
No, he liked it.
Oh.
he was like, I'll take it.
I just meant like...
He knows what you mean.
You know, cold stare at suitors of his daughter.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I know.
Jimbo's a smart man.
Okay, well, what did J-I-M say?
We're in the sauna. Mm-hmm. It's just me and him at this point. So we can... discuss freely, and he's like, so what are y'all gonna talk about on the next episode of the podcast, because he listens now, you know, regularly, and we kind of talk about it at the gym. So I'm thinking about talking about eproctophiles.
Did he know what that was?
No, he's like, what the hell is that? Is that made up? And I said, and as soon as I start to talk, two guys come in. And I'm like, well, I'm already committed, so I'm just gonna go with it. They're gonna have to either be uncomfortable or join in.
If me as your wife was uncomfortable with you talking about this, I can't imagine two strangers.
Luckily, they were like our age guys. And so the first words they hear me say are sexually aroused by farts. And the thing is, this tells you where men are. Both of them are like, oh, shit. Yeah, I've heard of those. It's nasty. And they just join in our conversation.
Nice.
And so we got to talk, and one of the guys was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, me and my wife have a podcast. He was like, oh, what is it? I love podcasts. Joe Rogan's my hero. And he just loved the whole conversation. And
nice. Is he going to listen to us?
He was
going to
listen. And his name's Jim also. Hello, so we got me and Jimbo at the gym, and we met Jim.
Fantastic.
Talking about farts, turning guys on.
Fantastic. That is hashtag something you will never hear in a woman's locker room.
I hope not. We had a good 10-minute conversation in a 182 degree sauna about...
That's a whole nother thing.
This young man I'm about to tell you about that is the first case study on eproctophilia.
Who... Okay. What I want to know, before you get into that dude, who even, like, there, so there's got to be, there's a, there was a scientist, like, in a lab somewhere that had to make up the word for this. How did he find out that was even a thing? And what does that, like, I mean, I kind of get it, because, like, proctologist means, like, your poop shooter. So, like, that kind of makes sense. But, like,
totally makes sense.
But, like, where did he even find out that this is in the realm of...
Well, I'll answer that.
Fetishes. You
know, olfactophilia is paraphilia, where an individual derives sexual pleasure from smells and odors.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure he subcategorized that. So he's put the poop shoot in front of philia, and that's where...
And he's a dude, so he was like, oh, there's a whole thing with smells. You know there's got to be one with fart specific.
Well, if you think there's not people out... I mean, people like to be shit on, so of course they're going to love farts.
People are fucking gross. I just don't know why, like, but yeah, okay.
Well, so
carry on.
This... This guy did the study in the forum about eproctophilia, and a young man wrote him saying that he wanted to be his first, like, open subject that he could interview.
Did he post this on Craigslist?
No. And he had to go by a pseudonym for anonymity,
no shit.
Of course. But for the study, he goes by Brad. 22-year-old guy.
No, Brad.
And so he approached the author / doctor, you know, that did the study. And his opening comment was, I'm an eproctophile. I'm not ashamed of my interest. Mind you, I don't tell people that I'm into it any more than I discuss any other sexual matter. So anyway, so the guy goes on and starts interviewing him. And he asks him about how did it start. He says it started in middle school with a girl that he was attracted to, that some of his buddies were making fun of her because she was like a track runner, and she farted in science class one day, and it smelled real bad, and they were all making fun of her, and it kind of turned him on.
Uh-oh.
So he never did anything about it until he was in high school, and two of his male buddies were hanging out, and one of them ripped a nasty fart.
Uh-oh.
And he loved it. And so what he did... was he started making bets with his buddies that required the loser had to let somebody fart full blast in their nose.
Ew.
And he just tanked all the bets. He'd make a bet a week and, like, tank them all.
Nobody saw.
Guys are nasty. God, I mean, if I could name how many guys farted in my fit. Not
no,
like
but I'm
that,
saying, like, that he lost. Oh, I guess I lost again, guys.
I'm the worst.
Shucks, yeah.
Pull them down.
Let's get this over with. Excuse my boner.
don't look at my crotch. That just happens.
Whoopsie.
But so, anyway, so they go on to talk about it. And I'm looking at it now so I can make sure I'm doing this right. Blah, 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 blah. First, I didn't want... Okay, at first I didn't want to admit I was into his farting. But eventually I decided to experiment. He set up the bets to lose. He claimed to enjoy everything about it and experienced it directly. Brad says, and I quote, I'm not sure how graphic of details you'd like, but I've had my face farted on by both men and women at point blank range. I like the sound and the smell. The worse, the better. In terms of sound, I prefer a deep bubbling sound.
Oh my God, this is what grosses me
out. In terms of smell, I like acrid sulfur. I prefer the farter to be clothed. I don't particularly like seeing the anus open. Why not?
You already like bubbly.
Your ass deep in this, and it's the ass, the anus opening that bothers you.
Gross.
That is pretty nasty.
This is
it just makes me think of John's butthole when he craps. A pit bull's bunghole.
How it's winking at you?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So fucking gross.
It's not revolting to me. I just prefer fabric for three reasons. Firstly, the sound tends to be better with fabric, particularly jeans or nylons. Second, the smell lingers better in cloth, whereas in the nude, it is a relatively quick blast of smell. Third, I like the look of the buttocks better when they are defined by fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Brad was asked why he preferred sulfurous farts. He said they tended to be the strongest and the most disgusting. Good God.
Blah.
Blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to kind of say he's not gay, but he is attracted to men's farts in a sense of dominance.
There you go. Were you not hugged enough?
Well, they go on to dive into that. His parents were divorced. His only child, who's supposedly that's where the... Somehow that created a fart
loving animal. I feel like all these weird fetishes are... It boils down to, did you not get enough hugs and cuddles?
That's a tough thing to grasp on the farts, though.
It's, I mean, everybody's different.
I guess.
Everybody's outlet of, I don't know.
But so that's gross. That's a real thing, and you guys can look it up. I will post the link.
I'm sure everybody Twitter. Is clamoring well, to no, get to
like,
it.
Like Jimbo was kind of like, oh, man, I'm skeptical. Like if it's just a
he's
guy.
He's going to Snopes it.
Trying to get, but I mean, guys do, they love to be shit on. I mean, there's just people in those sexual cults that like to put their bodies in those pods with like a tube out and have hot girls fart into them all day.
Nope. I'm over it. Blah.
I mean, we've all seen Jackass. They did that. Remember when the fat guy sweat into the pod and Steve-O had to drink it?
He didn't enjoy that.
No, but people are nuts. It's all I'm trying to say. Well, people like what they like.
Yeah.
Who are we to judge?
People like what they like, and sometimes what people like is fucking weird.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many layers to sexuality that who knows, man.
I just am going to stick to the regular business.
You mean you don't want
no,
point
no,
blank?
No. I don't want that, or I don't want your vomit burp in my face either.
I don't want that vomit burp. That's 100 times worse. That was pure, like, stomach acid, like...
Gross.
A bubble.
It just smelled like bile and...
No, it smelled like beef jerky. I don't know why.
You, like, beef jerky from, like, a week ago that, like...
that I ate Saturday night. Me and Jimbo polished off after game night.
Oh, yeah. After you drove, yeah. So, yeah. It was just gurgling down there.
Yeah, beef jerky's got to be hard to digest because it's
like
jerky.
Leather. Yeah, it's leather. Gross.
Well, I guess.
But, I don't know.
So that's all I got about Brad. I just thought that was interesting that there are.
Where did you come across that?
I'm going to be honest. I Googled people that are sexually attracted to farts.
You went looking for that.
Yeah, looking for funny subject matter.
Weird. So, okay, I got you.
And I wanted something credible. So, you know, I had to read through and make sure it
was this from like the American Medical Association?
I can't see good enough. I'll post the link. I'm transparent. Oh.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering. Yeah, don't try and give yourself a headache and strain your...
No, I'm not going to look at the phone anymore.
That shit, like, I mean, telling you. You got to, like, cross your eyes a little bit to focus when they're dilated.
Yeah, so...
Hold your phone kind of sideways, cross your eyes, and then...
If you're feeling bad about your little sexual picadillos, imagine being Brad.
Yeah.
Your shit's not that bad. If you like to put... women's underpants on and dance. Is that as bad as wanting
someone
a full-blown anus?
No, he doesn't like. He doesn't like the full-blown.
He didn't say he didn't like. Said he preferred.
Oh,
I'm sure he would take whatever he can get.
Yeah.
If the giver wants to be anus out, I bet he wouldn't say no.
Very true. Very true. Because I'm sure there's not many people willing.
No, I mean if you're dating a guy and he goes, "Hey, babe." No, we've been seeing each other for a month now.
Bye-bye.
I'm going to have to ask you to pull your butt apart and rip
see
one in my face.
Get
I
out.
I knew you didn't love the real me.
But I need you to pack your shit and get the fuck out.
Well, so what do you got? I know you got a laundry list of current events that you're dying to tell talk about.
This past week, so we haven't done a podcast since last Monday, and so... much has happened. One that'll be short. Bill Cosby, guilty. Rot in jail. Kill yourself. Don't kill yourself so you can get butt raped. And then...
he's going to kill himself.
Probably kill yourself. I really hope he fucking goes to jail because he's a coward piece of shit. Everybody knows that. Fuck you, Bill Cosby. It's very upsetting because I loved Bill Cosby as a kid. Anyways.
You love Dr. Huxtable.
I did love
Bill. As did I.
And I, like, Bill Cosby, his stand-up. Like, Bill Cosby himself was one of those that we had on, like, VHS tape, along with, like, Eddie Murphy, Raw, and Delirious, and all that. Bill Cosby himself was a little bit cleaner, of course, but it was fucking hysterical.
No, and, like, he was good. You're
me,
right.
Yeah, like, me and my family always had these, like, one-liners from, like, himself that for my whole life we would pull out all the time. So, like, and I took my dad one year for Father's Day, I think, or for his birthday. He had come through Atlanta, and it was at, like, God, I don't know if it was Cobb Energy Center. I don't know if Cobb Energy Center was around then. It was somewhere. But I took my dad. It was like a date with my dad to go see Bill Cosby stand up. And it was great. So it pisses me off when shit like that. So fuck you, Bill Cosby. Tex McIver, who is the Atlanta, the hoity-toity high power Atlanta attorney that shot and killed his wife, was found guilty. So that one was, I mean, it was on the news every single day here almost. I mean, it was like a few years ago that it happened, but because it was local, it was on the news all the time here. But honestly, I didn't know as many details until I listened to the Generation Y podcast about it. So maybe that's the episode you go back and listen to, is a Tex McIver one.
Maybe.
Because at the end, he kind of breaks down why he thinks why because he kind of had me on the fence as to whether, like, I thought he was guilty or not, because it was very situational when he shot her. Like, and for anybody that doesn't know, I'll do like super Cliff Notes version. Like, they all went out, him and his wife went out to eat with their friend. Him and his wife both had a little bit too much to drink, so their friend drove their car. So the three of them are in the car. Tex is laying down in the back seat, his wife's riding shotgun, their friend's driving. They hit traffic on Atlanta Interstate, like I-20 or something, like, no shit, because Atlanta's always traffic. This was during a time around, like, Ferguson stuff. So there was Black Lives Matter protests going on in Atlanta. So there was traffic on the interstate. They exited the interstate in a part of town that was very heavily involved with these protests. So Tex decides to grab his gun out of the console, because he's like, oh, you know, I just want to protect us since we're now in this sketch part of town, whatever. But he's like laying down in the back seat. He's like not even, he's like taking a nap because he drank too much at dinner, holding his gun. Apparently, they like went over a speed bump. His gun goes off, shoots his wife. Ugh. Allegedly. Well, no, he's guilty as fuck. He shot his wife. But that's where this guy had me thinking, like, you know, it was very like, how would he have planned the traffic, the protests, like the reason of getting his gun out of the console? But what it boils down to is that, like, him and his wife were having some strains. Like, she was very, very successful, like a CEO of a company, had a shitload of money. He had already, like, they were having some issues in their marriage a little bit. There were some life insurance policy things happening. I don't remember all the details, but it seemed like he just took the opportunity to offer, basically. But yeah.
He didn't get found guilty on all of his charges, right? Didn't they? They dropped one. I mean, he's going to go away for the rest of his life, right?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I just saw guilty. And I was very happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had a shit ton of charges, and they couldn't. They didn't get like first degree murder, but they got something else. I mean, he's old.
He's going to jail for a long time. He's going to go to jail forever. He's going to die in jail.
I mean, Bill Cosby, I promise you, him being 80 and all of his issues, he'll kill himself before, because he's out until he has his
aren't they going to be surveilling him at all?
Sure, but he can still take a few of his special pudding pops and never wake up.
Yeah.
And then his publicist will say he died of natural causes. So if he dies of natural causes
before he goes to jail, he killed himself. Yeah.
Just be ready.
Fuck him. Yeah. And Tex McIver's pretty old too, so he'll die in jail. He's going away. He hadn't been sentenced yet, I don't think. But
what's funny about him is watching these guys that are rich, when their trial starts, they look all hoity-toity white rich guy.
Oh, he was beat down.
And then by about a couple months into the trial, yeah, they got beards. They're like gangsters.
Tex
they
look doesn't.
Bullshit. There was a he bunch looked, of times where he had put a beard on.
He looked pretty worn down, and but I mean, he's old as shit, but yeah.
I mean, I think it's just funny that they go in there and they think they got all the money in the world and they can do whatever they want. And then the reality hits, they go to jail and they get their buttocks taken.
Well, especially him, because he probably thought, like, because he's an attorney here too, you know? So he probably thought, like, oh, I got this shit in the fucking bag. Like, I know everything to say and do, but yeah, guilty. And then the biggest news is that the Golden State Killer was caught. I'm sure everybody knows that already. This huge news. I mean, he's been free and gallivanting about in Sacramento for the case. 40
years.
Case has been open for 40 years. He was responsible for 12 murders and over 50 rapes in the 70s. And he's an ex-cop and a piece of shit old fucker now, and he will also die in jail. There's a DNA match, 100% DNA match, and I'm like dying to find out all the information on, like, once they take him to trial and everything is public record on, like, exactly what it is that brought the cops to him. But I mean, I think what everybody is, it was something with ancestry DNA, so it had to have been familial DNA somehow linked
to his discarded personal DNA.
Well, something had to point to him for them to go get the discarded DNA.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Like something, I want to know where exactly that came from. So to where they were even staking him out to go collect the discarded DNA. But yeah, I mean, I feel terrible for his, because he has daughters.
Have you heard about them? No. They are so successful. One of them's a doctor.
They're grown.
And
I know that.
One's
but
a
no.
doctor. And nice. One just got finished with their doctorate.
Wow.
In college. And then his...
How fucking heartbreaking for them,
though. Wife or ex-wife, his in-laws, none of them had a fucking clue. Mm. I've been reading up on it a little bit.
Nobody did, obviously.
I think his brother-in-law recalled in a recent interview where one time D'Angelo asked him, what do you think about the East Area rapist?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some point in a conversation.
Just random.
Randomly asked him. And now that's creepy as fuck.
Fuck yeah.
But then, he was, I'm sure everyone in that whole area
was just
asked
a topic
that question.
Of, yeah, it was on everybody's minds back then. I mean, it was, if you lived in Sacramento in the 70s, it was on your mind. And, like, yeah, there's people that have found, because there was that famous town hall meeting where somebody stood up and, like, said that it wouldn't happen if the husband was home, because at first he was targeting women that were at home alone. And this man stood up and said, well, that wouldn't happen if the husband was home, blah, blah, blah. And then apparently, like, 2 months later, that guy's house was broken into and they were attacked and the wife was raped. And then they found pictures of, like, because, of course, everybody's been scouring the pictures of that town hall meeting to see, because obviously he was there. And there was one that somebody made where they did like a side by side of a picture of him during that time. And they found somebody in the crowd that, I mean, it's him. It's got to be him sitting on the floor all crisscross applesauce.
Yeah. I mean, photos were so shitty in the 70s.
I know.
It's hard to.
But I mean, he was definitely there. So.
Did you hear about the link, though, of another thing that's come out since? One of the first rape victims that survived recalled the rape, you know, years ago in her statement, and said that the rapist had, while he was raping her, he was weeping.
Oh, and he would say, I'm sorry, mommy.
No, he was saying, why are you doing this, Bonnie?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that. And that was his ex-fiance that dumped
him. Yeah, so there was lots of, so I just listened.
What a freak.
Well, there was only one that actually heard it as Bonnie.
Yeah.
And then they made the link to the ex-fiance, because several other rape victims, and if you ever listen to the I'll Be Gone in the Dark book that I listened to a couple months ago, which is all about the Golden State Killer, most people, I mean, lots of rape victims would
thought
tell police
mommy.
That he would just start weeping and say something about, like, I don't want to do this anymore, mommy. So and,
weird.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. And it was Bonnie all along.
And it could, yeah, it was obviously Bonnie. Because it would kind of be when he was like across the room from them or something, or he would like go in the kitchen. And nobody ever really knew for sure if it was like a ruse. Like he was just trying to add a layer of like weirdness to it, which
that shit was real.
Yeah. I mean, he's a demented, sick, sick motherfucker. Like,
I wonder how Bonnie feels.
Bonnie's probably.
Because this is just coming out since the book, obviously, then that Michelle McNamara wrote that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, it was probably the first time she was really highlighted in the whole thing. And so, if Bonnie's still alive.
I don't remember this Bonnie ever being mentioned in the book.
Oh, does she just say mommy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Then, yeah, this is brand new that they link Bonnie being his ex-fiance that kind of like told him to kick rocks.
I think actually, no. So there was several accounts that I remember from the book of people talking about him crying and saying something about, I'm sorry, mommy, I don't want to do this, mommy. But I think briefly they did mention that one of them said that it sounded like it was Bonnie, but there was no other, I mean.
They didn't know who he was then.
Right. So it was just, it was like that one sentence of like, it sounded like it was Bonnie.
Well, so now we know.
But now that's such an eerie, like, of course it's Bonnie. And it wasn't mommy all along. It was always Bonnie.
So he was, in his mind, raping Bonnie.
Correct. It's
fucked up.
It was, yeah, he was engaged to this Bonnie chick or whatever, and she dumped him. And so then he...
Crazy fucker.
Yeah, she dodged a bullet, obviously, with that one, but...
How she lived and all these other people died is.
Well, he didn't start. I mean, like he raped. He was his main gig was just like ruining women's lives by raping them. And
50 of his 62 victims were.
But
raped.
Then towards the end, he started killing people, and he would kill the. You know, he was on to couples by then, and. Because he switched from women by themselves to couples, but he would, even before he was killing them, he would break in, he would tie up, a lot of times he would hold a gun to the wife, make her tie up her husband, put him on his stomach, and then he would go get plates from the kitchen, come back in and like stack the plates on the man's back, and then tell him, you know, he'd take the wife out to the living room and say, if I hear those plates move, I'm killing her. And he would take the wife out to the living room and rape her. And he would like do weird things like turn on the TV, but like put like a shirt, kind of drape a shirt over it for like ambiance, like weird shit.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, he took all kind of weird ass, you know, trinkets.
Oh, weird mementos. Like, yeah.
Clash rings were one of
cufflinks,
his favorites.
Like engraved, personalized cufflinks.
They're
going to
find
shit.
All that shit. I wonder if people will get their shit back, like how weird that'll be, like the family of the victims to get their mom or dad's
old
class ring.
That's what I can't wait to find out. Like, because they were, of course, after they arrested him, they like were carrying boxes and boxes of stuff out of his house. And like, everybody's like, oh my God, what's in those? Like, what's in there?
Oh, I'm sure it's everything.
I mean, is that like his trophies? Like, what did he keep?
I mean, I'm sure they're dotting every I and crossing every T this. I mean, they can't be wrong.
No, it's so many eyes on it. And so, I mean, like, but kudos to everybody, all the police and everybody involved with that. It's a fucking good job.
Sure, I give a lot of this credit to Michelle McNamara.
Well, of course,
and her
yes,
book
absolutely.
That reinvigorated this case.
It got everybody's interest on it, and a lot of eyes on it. A lot of those armchair detectives. I mean, for sure, the actual apprehension and you know.
And I had called it a couple weeks ago on here talking about the true crime podcast, how they are like having a million detectives out. You know, that's
for sure.
Exactly what. And people are good at this shit.
Mm-hmm.
These data collectors and Reddit folks and...
Oh, Reddit.
All their podcasters and, I mean, Trace Evans. I mean, they're just so good now and their facts are so strong. Shit.
Yeah.
You're fucked. One of these big, good podcasts get on your trail, your ass is fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying something to you the other day. I don't think it would be possible for there to be a serial killer... of any of these, of the magnitude that was happening in the 70s, it would not be possible for a serial killer, I don't think, in my opinion, nowadays to get away with that.
Over a long period of time. No. You could have a guy that goes and kills 10 people in one night,
that
maybe.
That would be like a mass. That, yeah, would, that exactly. wouldn't necessarily be considered
no,
a serial.
No, you're absolutely
killer.
Right. I'm agreeing
yeah.
with you. I don't. You couldn't have somebody. But closest we've come is remember in the, whenever the guy was crossing the country with his son and shooting people. The I-10.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, the guy, he was a former military guy. He had his son. They had Muslim names.
Oh, yeah.
They were in their car, and they just were mowing random people down across the country with their sniper rifle.
What year
was
that,
though? Out of their modified car. It was not long after September 11th, I don't think.
Yeah, somewhere, but see, that's time. Still technology, even in like podcasts and shit. And
but
everybody...
I think he's listed as a serial killer. Oh, or maybe a mass killer. I don't know. But that's the best that could happen.
Yeah. No, the last serial killer I remember, and there's been others, I'm sure, was, and I just remember this one because it affected, because it was where I lived. But when I lived, it was right when I was moving to Baton Rouge, I think. So it was like, gosh, must have been, or no, it was, I'd already lived there because I remember at one point when I was living on Violet Street. So, like right around 2000-ish, plus or minus a couple years, but Derek Todd Lee, the black serial killer. Uh-huh. And he was killing women. And I don't remember how many he killed, but he was, it was, I think he was using a tape recording of like babies crying or something to get like he would go up and like knock on the door, but use like some kind of tape recorder so that it would like kind of get a woman's attention and he would know she was there alone. He's a fucktard, and he would he killed him, and he would go dump him in Butte La Rose, which is like a bayou and 30 minutes away. But that's the most recent one I remember, like being before all massive technology and internet sleuths. That was, I mean, that was even before Facebook and shit. We were still MySpacing back then, I think.
You ready for me to move to just the tip? Because I've got a good question this week.
Sure.
Because it's poor bastard.
What?
This guy's question.
What?
So the just the tip is going to be about performance anxiety for men.
Oh, no. What was that just fell off your microphone?
A little monkey.
What was that just fell off there?
It was a little monkey toy.
Oh, from Gunner. Okay. Yeah. Gunner, that little monkey that was on the table. Yeah. I got you. Okay.
I want to have sex with my wife all the time, but I always release just when she's getting into it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just feel like a shitty lay. This is how I picture him writing it.
Like Eeyore?
I really want to have sex with my wife all the time, but I always release just when she's getting into it.
Well, here's your solution.
Sometimes I just feel like a shitty lay.
Oh. And then, wah. Eeyore. I mean, here's your solution. Make sure she is satisfied before.
It's a great tip.
Getting your pee-pee involved.
Agreed. That's a great foolproof plan.
Foolproof.
Because I honestly doubt she's going to give you any shit.
Never.
If she's already happened and you release like a two-pump chump, she'll still call you a hero.
She will be just fine with that.
And if she's your wife, you know what? She's going to understand. Sometimes you're just not on your game. Or sometimes it's just you use the old babe. It's too good tonight.
That's always a
That's
good
gonna happen.
Answer.
It's going to happen.
But yeah,
for guys.
I mean, if it's like an every occurrence thing,
oh yeah, if it's all the time, then
just make sure you take care of her before even getting your private business.
Yeah, and put an old condom on, buddy. Something. You gotta put a barrier if you're releasing early every single time.
Yeah. Or that.
And you think that you're
unless you're
a
trying
horrible
to have a baby.
Lay for real, like if this is a serious question. There's shit you can get. There's creams and shit to dull your sensitivity, wear damn tin rubbers, if it's that important to you. Yeah. Or just do the easier shit like she just said.
Yeah.
And there's ways around it.
And then everybody wins. Because if she's already taken care of, she's not going to give two shits if it's like Randall said, like two pump jump.
No. And then blame it on her. I do it all the time. Say, oh, that's your fault. You were wonderful tonight, honey. Sorry about that.
Your butt's too good.
And it's, believe me.
Nobody's going to
She's not argue. Judging you if it's just a occasional thing. Because, I mean, that's a difference. That's hard for guys. But if you're in your own head about this, I bet that's a huge part of your problem.
Well, yeah. Don't overthink it.
Now you got a track record and you're just struggling. And as soon as she lets out a noise, you're like,
I'm done.
I'm the worst. Fuck me. I wouldn't fuck me for anything.
Aw.
Yeah. I'd get out of your head, take care of her first.
Yeah. And then
put
you're
on
good.
15 rubbers. Do all those.
Do everything at once.
Every single one of those. And if you're still having a problem, then you're probably right about your question.
Then it is you.
But I wouldn't take too much. Because if it's been just a couple times and she's giving you shit, yeah, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Girls don't have to keep a boner like we do.
Oh, wah.
There's a psychological mind fuck, and this guy's probably got it bad.
No, I can imagine.
There is a mindfulness to it that a lot of people don't understand.
I mean, I know there's a mind, because hello,
Yeah, but there's a big, if you get over in your head with about a boner, mm-hmm. you're screwed.
Yeah.
And then you pile onto that, all the other shit, and it can be a recipe. So just relax, sir. And do what you got to do.
And good luck. May the odds be ever in your favor.
May you last longer this time.
May the force be with you or something.
Yeah, let us know how much you last this time if we helped.
Yeah.
We're not laughing at you.
No,
dude.
No,
we're
no.
We're laughing with you and at you.
Oh, no.
But not in a bad way. He knows that's a funny fucking question.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of questions. My in-laws are too heavily involved in our marriage, and my spouse doesn't see it. What do I do? I'm going to need more info.
I mean, yeah. I mean, my first gut reaction is to say that just tell your spouse that it does bother you, but don't be aggressive so that they're immediately in a defense mode.
Sure.
You know, because that's a touchy thing is that, you know, because like, I mean, your family's your family and you can make fun of your family and you can talk shit about your family, but even your spouse sometimes talking shit or not even talking shit, but it's a touchy gray area of like, you got to be delicate when you approach your spouse about that. And make sure you're not like, your fucking family's ruining my life. But like,
no, yeah, but if
maybe come to them with a specific example that really bothered you.
Absolutely. That's what I was just about to say.
Okay, good. And then, you know, approach it in a non-confrontational,
neutral,
like, you know, maybe approach it in a way of like, how did you feel when your mom wanted to, don't know what the fuck it was, but. Know.
But, I mean, I'm trying to imagine how bad it... If the guy's saying this, that's why I said I have more questions. Like, is the mother-in-law, like, telling the daughter, like, that he sucks?
Or, like, make sure you cup the balls, honey.
Or, yeah. I mean, where's the two involved? Like, the spouse, if he raises that question to her in a mature way, mm-hmm. and says, honey, you know, I got concerns... You know, your family's a little heavily involved. Mm-hmm. I love you. And she's like, you know what? Go fuck yourself. That's my family. She has to also remember she married him,
mm-hmm.
not her family, you know, her in-law.
Well,
so,
that's
but
all
it's
about
all
the
about
approach.
The way it's absolutely 100%. Mm-hmm. And I don't know enough to take a side.
Yeah.
Neither
of
us.
We would need a more specific example to give more specific advice.
But I would
advice.
Talk. Just talk about it.
Just
first.
Talk about it. Non-confrontational, non-aggressive. Don't drink first. Do it sober.
Yeah. That could be bad. Yeah, but have real examples too. Because if you're going to tread that water, but you have no real examples, you're fucked.
No, you got to have a...
Then you're going to just look like you're making up shit.
No, I would approach it with a very specific example. And so that maybe when a future occurrence happens, you could be like, this is an example of when I feel your family might be intrusive. And
or you love your family more than me. Or they take a priority over our marriage.
Which, okay, yeah.
Any of those.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, and maybe it's, maybe there's something else going on her end that it will, that conversation might open it up for, you know, for you to understand better why something, you know.
Yeah, he could also be a selfish little bitch.
He could be a little baby bitch, yeah.
That is not realizing that that's her family. They just love her and she loves them and they're just a functional family.
And she may love him too, yeah.
Yeah, that, he might come from a shit family.
I think that took you, yeah.
Who knows?
We solved it for you. We would need more specifics, but yeah, that's our advice for your general question.
And put on 10 condoms.
Always satisfy her.
It always works.
And always satisfy her first. That's never a bad idea. No. And all these questions, satisfy her first. Yep. That's the answer.
And Brooks going there immediately has no reflection on
I'm speaking our from tactics. Experience.
It's all hypothetical.
My husband takes care of me.
Including
what's wrong?
Me putting on the 10 what's condoms.
Wrong? No, not...
Hell no.
Not if I want to have another baby.
No, sir. And by taking care of ahead of time, I have no worries about being a early releaser. I'm fine with a good early release. I love a good early release.
That's what I'm saying. I'm speaking from experience. We have a very happy, healthy. Yeah.
And that can be, I think everyone is happy with a quick release if everyone...
If everyone's satisfied, taken care of.
I think everyone, you know, eventually, you know, you get a little older, great with that. That's the win-win.
Yeah.
You don't want to be going for hours and hours all the time when you get older. I mean, you got kids, you got to go to bed, you got work and shit.
Well, sometimes there's not time for that.
Sure. So, now, there's times where it's great. You want to be a old marathoner.
Yeah.
And that's great, too. But
sometimes it's like, oh, Gunner's going to wake up in 5 seconds. 6 minutes.
And, you know.
Get this done.
All right. Well, our last question, and it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough sex. Mm. I want to have more sex, but there's no time to get us on track. How do we do it?
You got to make time. So
I mean, that's it. Again, drop the mic. We're gone.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what I was going to say.
You got to make time. And I mean, it's, you know, again, we... Because I feel like we're pretty fucking busy and...
Well, I was going to say, you need to take this with the seriousness that this could lead to. I'm trying to be in all helpful here with this one. That's a serious question. Mm-hmm. Like, that could lead to serious issues.
That
has to
sex?
Be a priority.
Yeah.
And we've done it for days where both, you know, taken days off. Mm-hmm. That's what I recommend. If you're off track... You fuckers better take a day and have a old fuck fest.
Yeah.
And remember what it was like to be nude all day.
Take a day off and
label it. Put the kids in daycare.
Yeah. Kids in daycare, school, summer camp, what the fuck ever. Get them out of the house. Grandma's.
Whatever.
Get them out. You guys take a day off work and have label that a naked day. Because we do that often.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's crucial.
We just like it.
If I could give you advice, I would say implement that occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, and since we brought that up, I actually went through and added a bunch of days off on my calendar. Like, at least, just to let you know.
Good.
But, like, I was just scrolling through the months and realizing that I don't, like, because, I know where it came from. I noticed that I had a shitload of vacation hours still that I had. I mean, and it's April, so I was like, damn, I still have... 240. Susan's got like double what I have. So I told her, like, you need to take some days off. But I went through and scheduled a few. Like, I've got a couple in May that I took off just randomly, like a Monday, Tuesday. So I'll let you know.
No, I mean, as funny
when,
as
when
that
we
is,
can have our naked day.
Yeah, but I think more people should do it.
Yeah.
And don't have shit planned for that day. Don't
Nothing.
Fucking want to get caught up on anything else, except if you really want to get back on track, be nude all day.
It's just a, I mean, and it's, you know.
You might be a little sore, both of you, if you take a whole, the first whole day.
Do some stretching first.
But if you're serious and want to get your, you know, your sex life back on track with your partner, you gotta fucking make it a priority.
And I want to say the first time we did this was like Halloween, wasn't it? Where we labeled it, like we're going to just be naked all day.
I thought the first time it was like naked Netflix and chill day or something.
It was
like
Halloween.
That. I know. But we talked, we just literally just.
But like that was the first time
that was, what show did we watch?
Mindhunter.
Yep.
Yeah. That's when we binge watched Mindhunter. And
I love that show.
Yeah. I mean, and then you were so violently angry that it was not till next October, this October in 2018.
I didn't understand how binge watching worked at that time.
I was more mad
at you and the family for letting me do that.
I know. I was like, well, I was just naked with you all day. So
y'all didn't warn me that I would have to go a whole year.
Uh-huh. But then The Punisher was on. But then we got to binge The Punisher, and then it was the same heartbreak of another fucking year before I got to watch.
That's the beauty of Perfect Strangers. There's 1.8 million episodes.
I know.
And we're still working our way through Perfect Strangers. Yes.
But not that there was anything wrong with it. I was having Halloween. I take Halloween off every year. And I think you even came up. You were like, let's just
be naked. I think it was your idea. I was just about to say, give you credit for it. Neither one of us argued about it.
And no.
I think we just saw the value in it afterwards.
Yeah.
So if you can take anything from that, we're glad to let you borrow it.
No, it was my idea. That's right.
I think it was.
And then, it was such a good.
Now it's a thing.
Now it's a thing because it was, it was.
A success.
Successful naked day. And come on, you get it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing but good that can come from. Just clearing your schedule.
If you've got kids and shit, we get it. Yeah. But we don't really have sympathy. That's why we don't have sympathy, because you got to make the shit. You got to make the time. I mean, I understand your statement of there's no time, but you're kind of full of shit.
Because if there's no time.
It has to be a priority.
Yeah, because we don't have time either, but it's a priority, so we make the time. Because, we got shit going on every single fucking night of the week. Literally.
Yeah.
And work full time all day, every day. So
I really hope you take that advice.
So do naked day. Y'all schedule days off. Naked day. It'll work wonders. Binge watch some shit on Netflix or Hulu.
And before we go, I want to give one last shout out to our cousin at Blunt Mommy Podcast. I know we told y'all about her last week, but there's a couple of funny things about that. We had... giving her that shout out, and I don't know if she was DMing us or we had DM'd her about something about the shout outs. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you on iTunes? And she was like, no, it's too much work. They declined us because we're explicit. And I was like, oh shit, us too. It took forever. And I was telling, she was like, well, how'd you do it? Tell me. So I gave her a quick synopsis. She replied back, oh, fuck that. Too much work. Fuck that. Next morning, I wake up and see a tweet from her. We're on iTunes.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck? So I'm interested to hear how she got on iTunes so quick. She'll talk about that tonight.
Because
Chris, her co-host, is supposed to be reviewing our show and talking about it tonight.
Oh, fantastic.
They're recording.
Nice. So they record on Monday nights too?
Yeah. She lives in Baton Rouge.
She's from Pineville.
Y'all are
country. Love it.
It's just funny to me though, because I know from when you live there and your friends there, that New Orleans is such a diverse community.
Well, New Orleans isn't Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is different from New Orleans.
She's the same. They go into the city, or whatever they call it when they go into New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But there's such a big and it's big in a good way. There's a gay community. Everybody's got the same group of, there's just so many that. City oozes
diversity and culture
and so everyone's got friends of all colors, shapes, and
it's amazing. I love it there. I loved living in Baton Rouge, and
I liked Baton Rouge when we went.
I loved Baton Rouge.
It reminded me of Huntsville.
And I used to go to New Orleans and party all the time, and I remember several people would be like, well, why do you live in Baton Rouge? Why don't you live in New Orleans? Because I like Baton Rouge. Like, that's
the Spanish Moon in Baton Rouge?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that place. I like Spanish the food Moon, in Baton Rouge.
Spanish Moon was my place.
Yeah, that place was it's dumpity awesomeness.
It you
the size of our kitchen.
I mean, it's not that small.
The main bar area where we were at that
it's
front
two
room.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah, but that where we went the first time, that one
you can fit
room.
A couple thousand people in there apparently.
Fuck, really?
Yeah, if it's packed like
it
sardines.
Be stinky.
Yeah, no, but you immediately smell like an ashtray when you walk
in. And your
in
feet
there.
Stick to the floor. I remember that specifically.
And it's haunted. Margaret worked there for a long time. And I mean, I was there for many, 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 many long nights.
I believe it's haunted.
I was there till damn near daylight on many occasions. And I was never there like with myself or like one other person. So I never encountered the haunted stuff. But like people all the time would say like doors slamming or like random shit falling off the bar. Could be because the building's probably lopsided as fuck, but I like to believe that it's haunted.
If Margaret says it's haunted, it's haunted.
Yeah.
Nothing scares Margaret. So I'm horrible. I will never go back.
I didn't say she was scared. I just said
I'm scared. I know she's not, but I am.
Yeah.
Now I'm horrified. Yeah. But great food. So give her a check out. Remember, she's at
Blunt_mommy.
And, they're pretty funny. They're hitting their stride. I think they could be awesome. They get their cool little group.
Yeah,
and
they're
learning.
Funny.
They're getting their way. And she's fucking crass and, you know.
Yeah, he's
dirty
definitely
in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, and fucking, you know, she's got a foul mouth. I'm all down for that.
No, they're funny. They definitely even each other out like very well.
Mm-hmm.
Like as far as like best friends go, like
yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I like their
yep. So give them a listen on they're on iTunes, Podbean, and everywhere you can get your podcast now. But I'm telling you, she could be one that pops up on us one day, and it's a pretty big show. So
cool.
That's all I got. All
right,
motherfuckers.
Peace out, bitches.
Go fuck yourselves.